Good afternoon. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., League of Nations, among other Internet radio talk stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. PIVTR is the Internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about the work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIVTR is also dedicated to helping published mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves or services, books, and products to the media. And without further ado, let me present to you, Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein in Happiness for Women Only.
All right. I was going to jump in.
Thank you.
Happiness for Women Only. Yes.
My mind went blank. Thank you.
So, yes, I'm Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, and I'm co-hosting these few months with Martha Trowbridge, who is not with me this time, but has joined me as a co-host, and that's very nice and gives me a little more freedom to find guests and do all sorts of fascinating things with Happiness for Women Only. Today, I have a very, very special guest who ties in so profoundly to my Enchanted Self work with women. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my guest and how she merges with my work, and then it's going to be all about Doreen Lappert and Addison and how she uses her distinct style of body movement work for bringing more pleasure and happiness into the lives of women, including myself, including herself. So let me just mention that my guest, Doreen Lappert and Addison, is a choreographer, she's a dancer and a performer, she's a video artist and a teacher, and she is my collaborator over the years when I've done Enchanted Self mind-body workshops. So we have quite a history, but she has also quite a history of movement in terms of well-being. I want to just frame for a second before Doreen comes in with me that we've been doing this show, Happiness for Women Only, for many months, but we never actually have done a show on how the mind and the body work together toward happiness for women only, and of course for men and boys when they choose to do their activities that use mind and body. And this is really shortchanging the whole concept of happiness. Originally, I presented the Enchanted Self material as positive states of mind and body, and worked originally very, very closely utilizing the two together, that one goes with the other, hand in glove. I guess over the years, reaching out to so many people through the web, through virtual teaching, through teleclasses, and through written material, I have tended to focus more on the mind and helping you achieve positive states mentally and emotionally that you can call and recall to yourself as you need them. But this is shortchanging, in some ways, the whole breadth of the concept of happiness and well-being. So that's why I'm so glad to have Doreen with me tonight. And now, Doreen, come on in with me.
Well, thank you very much, Barbara, for having me. And I look forward to our discussion.
Good, good. Well, we go back a long way, I guess about 15 or 16 years, when we started our Enchanted Self mind-body workshops. What were you thinking when you started up with me? You heard about some of my concepts, particularly memory retrieval, positive memory retrieval. You must have had some very clear reasons why you wanted to integrate mind and body.
Yes, well, I do believe that although we say mind and body, that it's really, there is really no separation, that does the mind lead to body attitudes? Does body attitudes lead to, you know, mind and thought? I think it travels both ways. It's not just any. It's not one way or the other. And so when you initially, you know, brought your material and asked me to read it, it was very, very interesting because it really engaged how women can find happiness, contentment, and joy in their lives. And I believe movement is a big part of that. I like to use the word movement instead of dance, and I do that for many reasons. The two reasons is that when I say dance, people automatically go, oh, no, not me, I can't dance. And whether that's for physical, emotional reasons, it brings up other issues. But movement is really all-encompassing. We all move. We breathe. That's movement. We get up in the morning, do our morning activities. We are constantly moving. And a dancer is really someone who just practices movement over and over again to be able to use that as a tool for expression. But I believe we all, no matter what the level of training or lack of training, we are all movers, gifted movers. And so the Enchanted Self really enabled us to bring out these positive memories through dialogue. And, of course, movement is very powerful, I think, in that it does also elicit wonderful, wonderful memories.
Of course, it can elicit less than wonderful memories. I remember one of the things that we used to do sometimes in the workshops, and I think we could mention it here because people can just try it listening on their computers, or if you've downloaded this into an iPod, is say just slumping your shoulders and pulling your body in real tight and squishing down in your chair so nothing has much room, and see what it does for your mood.
Exactly. It definitely can affect your mood. And then from there, while everyone is slumped down in their chairs, it's just to do the opposite and raise yourself up and straighten yourself up and think about that you're rising towards the ceiling while in a seated position, while anchored in your chair. And notice how your breathing is much more, it's easier. And notice how you feel.
I feel better.
Yeah, me too. I was doing it as you were saying.
Yes, yes. Oh. So, I think it proves that it's more than just even slumping. There's got to be all sorts of neurological memories tied into that because it happens so automatically and so fast. And I think just the opposite way, when we open up and we start to give ourselves a lot of room, I think at some unconscious level, again at the atom level or whatever, the small levels of I'll get lost. I'm not a scientist, but with the electrical currents in our bodies and so on, there are memories tied into skipping as a child or breathing in the fresh air, the seashore, whatever it is, and those memories get unlocked even if we can't quite remember them. And in my first book, The Enchanted Self, A Positive Therapy, I called them shadow prints because they're shadow prints of our minds because they're real. We just can't quite give them the vocabulary and the visualization that we give certain other things.
Right. Our cells do contain memories.
Cells, that's the word I was looking for.
That's the word, right? No, but our cells do contain memories, positive and negative memories. But they do, it is true. And so we do keep everything with us, We like to bring out the positive.
Right, right. I think that what you have been able to do is, maybe you can talk about this, is helping people find so many ways to move that are fun and cut through some of their bias and self-consciousness. I remember in some of our workshops we use that giant piece of white gauze material and lifted it up and pulled it down and danced with it and all sorts of things. Explain a little more, you know, some of those things and how they help us get in touch with happiness.
Right. Well, you're mentioning props, hats, balloons, material, scarves. And if one is feeling a little bit self-conscious or doesn't really know where to begin, like, oh, what do I do? You know, the easiest thing is just put on some music, grab a scarf, grab a whatever, and move that. Let that be the impetus for your movement. And often that gets you over that feeling of self-consciousness because you're starting to play. And when you're playing, whether you're playing with the prop or interacting with another person, it tends to lessen your inhibitions because your mind isn't focused on how do I look, what am I doing, but it's more focused on how am I, you know, am I having fun moving this scarf or tossing this balloon up? And in that action, you are exercising, moving, getting more breath into you and using space more.
So you're going to do a whole bunch of things. You're going to clinically bring more oxygen into your cells. You're bound to feel better. But you're also going back into a playful state where there were a lot less inhibitions. And every child that's had any type of normal upbringing, even from dysfunctional parents, still, you know, somewhere inside of ourselves, we know that innocent state of play.
Right. I often, when I'm teaching dance classes, I tell the students that we're going to play. And that play, there's no right and wrong when you play. Okay. We set down some parameters so that we have a structure of some sort. But within that structure, you play, because that's where ideas come from. That's where you can just let go of your inhibitions, because there is no right or wrong. And I think, most importantly, if you give yourself permission to play, that really helps. You know, it just unleashes, you know, those inhibitions.
You know, it reminds me, even when I first went to college, how serious I felt, how nervous, how tense I was around all the work. And then one night there were a bunch of us gals, and we were brushing our teeth and stuff in the bathroom. There was a communal bathroom on each floor. And I don't know how it started, but we started to laugh. And we had like this raucous belly laughing session over who knows what. And I finally felt terrific. You know, I was so happy, and that was play.
Right. We often forget that even as we get older, we're entitled to play, and play takes many forms. And, you know, I know you discussed that with your enchanted self, finding those joyful moments from your past and bringing them forth in sometimes new and even unusual ways. But it's that whole, to me, that whole idea of play. How do you incorporate play? Play could be anything as simple as, you know, taking a walk or watching others play, but allowing yourself, and we often don't make enough time for that. You don't need a lot of time. You know, take a minute, you know, but and it can come in anywhere through your life.
Well, you are really very very masterful at play, and I remember you have tremendous capacities when your daughter was young, take a walk and really go into playful states with her, not only playing but observing things as you walked and getting a kick out of stuff, no matter how simple. What is it about being in the moment? Can you help our listeners a little more with that and give even more ideas?
Well, you bring up an important point, being in the moment. We are either worrying about what we did in the past or worrying about what we're going to do in the future. We all, including myself, of course, you know, we're busy, past and future. And those moments that we can be or present in the moment are just wonderful. And the idea of play, of being engaged with another, whether it's a child or like I said, putting on the music and just dancing away. You're involved in the moment. And when you're involved in the moment, there's really nothing else to worry about except what you're doing in the moment. So if you're playing, you know, you are or moving in a way that brings you joy, or watching someone else move that brings you joy, then that's happiness and contentment. And I think it's a really important thing to practice. I know meditation, you know, we sit and we be in the moment. And, of course, our minds can race, you know, to get our mind to, you know, sit still and focus. It's hard. It takes a lot of practice. I think with play, the idea that we're moving and we're not sitting, although there are movement meditations such as Tai Chi, but even that's very good too, because you are moving. I think being physical while being mindful helps you to be in the moment.
I certainly benefit when I can be in the moment, and I spend a lot of time, even with all my positive psychology training and my work and as a positive therapist, and yet, you know, I spend time either projecting into the future or ruminating over certain things in the past. And most of that time becomes wasted time. Not all of it. I mean, if you are actually intentionally planning something in the future that you've got to do thinking about or planning or making some intuitive choices, whatever it is. I mean, of course, you have to spend time. But we tend to get lost in busy ruminating that really would be so much better to, like, go ballroom dancing, you know?
Absolutely. And I want to say, you know, when you are planning, when one is planning about their future and sitting there and fully engaged, that's also being in the moment.
Sure.
You know, because you are fully engaged in planning future. But you're right, ballroom dancing, you know, it's so popular now with the TV show and you know, more and more classes. I know at the college I teach at, currently one of the classes is a ballroom class, and the students are just having so much fun. And why? Because it brings up so many joyful either memories or feelings. It can be romantic, dancing with another and trying to work out these patterns with another. It's just fully engaging. There's no time to think about anything else except what you are doing.
And I read research that said that ballroom dancing, of all forms of dancing and of all sports, was the best sport to ward off senility.
Really? Yes, because you're learning. You have to, you know, you're remembering patterns, you know, listening to music, which we know is very therapeutic. It's posture, your breathing. I mean, it encompasses everything physically, emotionally, mentally. To me, adding more movement, conscious movement into one's life is very rewarding and very powerful. We all move, but do we consciously move? And not to say you have to do that, or nor will you do that every moment of your waking life, but to have moments of when you are conscious of your physical movement in a positive way, engaged, very powerful. And
what advice or help can you give to the person that feels either they are not moving as well as they used to, and they're either ashamed or embarrassed, or they have a physical complaint that hurts when they move in a certain way, or maybe they've really lost a certain level of functioning and movement is not free the air for the entire body any longer?
Right. Well, several things. You know, how we can all reminisce about how we used to move. And yes, and sometimes it's sad that, you know, I used to move this way and now I'm unable to for whatever the reason. But breathing, just remember, breathing is movement. Okay, so as long as you're breathing, you're moving. And also, just doing a little bit, moving, I mean, if you're really very incapacitated, if you can move a finger, if you can move a toe, I mean, I'm talking about minimal movement. But also, by watching others is also watching others move can also bring joy. And I think that's something to think about, too. So, and as far as exercising, you know, I remember I was talking to someone, and they said, oh, well, you know, you dance and move. This is easy for you. I'm getting older and aches and pains. And all I said was baby steps. You know, so you do a little. You do a little bit every day, or you do a little bit three times a day. And a little bit can be walking from one room to another, or it could be wheeling yourself from one room to another. Or, I mean, don't have such hard expectations on yourself. But
yeah, that's a very good point. And sometimes we've all had moments. I mean, I have a friend who can run a marathon. I guess that's technically usually about 20 miles. I'm not sure. But, you know, I can feel so intimidated because that's just impossible for me. But on the other hand, I can go out walking for an hour, and really I can walk longer than that. I just have to build it in and decide I want to do it and not get discouraged if on a particular day maybe it doesn't feel quite right and I'm not going to do, you know, more than an hour or even 40 minutes. But I have to take myself back to myself rather than comparisons.
Exactly. That is so important. Stop comparing yourself, not, you know, yourself to mm-hmm. others. That is really important. Take what you have, where you're at, and baby steps. And you'll find that you do a little bit. You know, I remember when I was recovering from breast cancer, and I remember that it was really painful for me to move at first. But I'd go outside in my backyard, and I'd say, I'm going to do Tai Chi. And I would move a little bit. And no, I couldn't lift my arm up very high. But I was determined that every day I would do a little bit more. Sure enough, you know, for me, by the end of 2 weeks, I had full range of motion. That was me.
Wow.
I was fit before I went in, but the idea was is that baby steps.
Tell everybody, our time is short, but I do want you to tell everybody the beautiful video film that came out of part of your recovery process with breast cancer, because I think it is a beacon of hope, and this is Breast Cancer Recovery Month in the United States.
Well, I guess the most important thing I like to say that there is life after breast cancer, and that while one is going through it, we're very focused. I always felt like a horse with the blinders on, and I just kept focusing, you know, one way. I knew what I had to do. When it was over, and as time went on a little bit, I was asked to do a video for a show of artists, visual artists, and I did a video on it's called Journey. The full title is Journey Through Healing, and with my experience of breast cancer. And what I did was I superimposed my movement. I worked with a very talented editor and artist, Bob Mataanglo. And so what I was able to do is take my x-rays and mammographies, and we superimposed my movement on top of that. And so it took me through a path of how I felt, the different stages of how I felt from the beginning, like I felt like I just slammed up against the wall, to the end when I just totally opened up and rain was falling and I felt, you know, just healed. You know, it went through a whole process, but that's basically. But my message is there is life after breast cancer. I remember going to the art opening, and this artist was speaking, and I said, and she was a breast cancer survivor, and I said, why isn't she talking about her breast cancer? All she's talking about is her art. But at that time, I didn't understand because I had just I just had finished with my breast cancer experience. But I realized that she was talking about her art. This is who she is, what she is. You don't identify with the breast cancer. You had breast cancer, but it's not who you are. I think that's very important. And to go out and live your life, move, do the things that, you know, that you just love to do.
And that's sure to bring you to a state of happiness. It's a guarantee.
Absolutely, absolutely. Life is short, and
it should be sweet.
Yes, it should.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you so much, Doreen Lappert and Addison. Doreen, as I said, has been a colleague of mine for many, many years. She is one of the people that assisted me in writing my first book, Through the Agonies of the Process of Conceptualizing, Proofreading, and so on. So, and she is mentioned in the book many times, and particularly her dance that she created around The Enchanted Self. So I hope you'll pick up a copy of The Enchanted Self, A Positive Therapy, and get to know Doreen through that and some of her work. We do have some papers we've written together, and we did a newsletter for years together. So there's quite a bit. How can people actually reach you to find out more if they want to know more about our work as colleagues, even the dance you created, the choreographed, the Enchanted Self dance, or get in touch with you for a host of other reasons?
Yes, I can be reached. Excuse me, I have a website, not a website, an email address, and it's dance, D-A-N-C-E, N, move, M-O-V-E. So it's dance, N, move, one, the number one, at yahoo.com.
Now, is that dance and A-N-D or
no,
dance?
No, just N, N.
The letter N.
Like Nancy.
As in no. Okay.
Yes.
Dance and move.
Dance and move one, the number one. Dance and move one at yahoo.com. Or they can contact you.
Okay, sure they can.
Yes.
I will be glad to forward anything. And you can find me and at www.enchantedself.com. And you will see there an access to write to me, or you can just write to me at drbarbara@enchantedself.com. Well, thank you again, and it was a pleasure discussing movement, mind, body, all tied together, as you said, in one continuum, and I hope to see everybody again soon in Happiness for Women Only. Bye for now.